start recording first. All right, you ready? Maybe move over just a little bit.
You're going to have to move over a little bit then.
Okay. Okay. All right, that's all right. We're good.
Don't bump my chair.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. I am going to test and see if we are online. It should pop up here.
Oh, I did return my sound. Oh, I don't have it on over there.
Nope, good. You don't have it on, so we're good.
That's a first.
Yep, we're not going to be in chat today. Hi, everybody. Okay, I believe we are on. Oh, we have chat right here, so I can talk. Hi, everybody. Praise the Lord. Okay.
If we get a chance to chat.
Yeah, we got a lot going on here today, but okay. So go for it, dear.
My page.
Okay.
I did a study. Because once saved, always saved is what I believed in at one point in my walk with the Lord. I do not now. I'm just so that if you are a once saved, always saved individual, and you have an open mind and want to continue, I would appreciate you listening in to some of the scriptures that I found that obviously go the other way. But it's not to strive or contend with those who believe in the OSAS, as I call it. It's to tell you the truth, which is the Word of God. And I'm going to explain why I had this whole study that the Lord had me do in His Word to His glory. And I just want you to stay here, if you will, so that you'll listen to that. If you're a new believer, I would ask that you stay as well so that you can learn this from His Word. But always do a study by yourself with the Holy Spirit. Always. I recommend it. Wouldn't have it any other way, because when you're doing a study with Him like that, He teaches you under the anointing all things. The Bible says you have no need for any man to teach you, okay? Because the anointing teaches you all things as the Holy Spirit leads you. So, as for me, I was led to Jeremiah this morning. That's where I read from. That's just where I was led. Some days I'm led to Proverbs. Some days I'm led to Matthew. But it's always by the leading of the Holy Spirit where He wants me to go so that I can learn from Him. So I'm just going to go ahead with what I have to say on this. And I hope that you do some research on your own. You can always turn back the video if you missed the scripture and you didn't see what it was said. Maybe you think I was wrong. Good. I'm wrong. I'm telling you right now, I am wrong. But the great I am is not. His word is right. Okay, so no matter, who's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. The word of God does not come back void. Okay, so to answer the question about this, I want to look at what the word of God says. And because it's the absolute authority. Not what men say, not what I say. The word of God is absolute authority.
Sorry.
So let's see what the Old Testament says. Let's go there first.
One second, guys. I have to move this over here. Okay. There. Okay, go ahead.
So, how about a Christian's worst enemy? Who's the Christian's worst enemy? Satan, right? Yeah, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give life, and that more abundantly, didn't he? Well, we have our Father, and those who sin have theirs, and continue in sin have theirs. There's a scripture on that. You can look it up. It's in the Word, but I'm going to go on. So let's drive the stake right into the heart of this evil. The devil was the first one. I'm going to go on and talk about others, but the devil was the first one to lose salvation. Now, wait, stop, before you go and say, oh, the devil he didn't have salvation in the first place. Well, let's look at what the Word says. He was with the Lord from the beginning. So I'd say, yeah, he had salvation. He knows the Word of God thoroughly. So he was there with the Word. He knows the Word better than Jack Van Impe. and I use him because he knows the Word real well. So God's judgment is righteous judgment. And therefore, Satan fell from heaven. He was in heaven. If you were in heaven, then you had salvation. If you weren't in heaven, then you didn't have salvation. So there you have it. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven?" Right there. I don't really need to go any further with this scripture, but 12 through 15 tells about it. But I'm going to go with, "How art thou fallen from heaven?" He fell. Okay? That's a falling away. He fell away from salvation. In verse 12, can he go back? No. No, he cannot. He cannot go back. I was going to read all these scriptures, but there's so many that the Lord showed me. I had 29 pages on a Microsoft Word document. And I'm like, "Lord, this is a lot." He says, "Yeah, some of it's you." I'm like, "Sorry, Lord. What do you want? What's your will? What do you want me to do?" So these are what the Lord gave me. He cut them down to 5 pages. Kathy made it, the letters a little bigger, so now it's 9. But but in any case, these are the ones that help me to better understand, that help you. So he lost out on salvation according to the Word of God. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. He was there with them. For these three bear record in heaven, the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, 1 John 5:7. So he had all three. But because he wanted to ascend above God and be like God, he fell from heaven. So that was the very first falling away. Cain, all right, let's talk about the first man who was ever born on this planet. His tragic course of events, which led to the killing of his brother, righteous Abel, led him out of the shadow of paradise, away from the place of God's presence into an eternity of restlessness. Was Cain a believer? I'd say so. Yeah, he had the first woman and the first man as his mother and father, so I think he's a believer.
He knew that God existed. He knew. It says in Scripture he knew that God existed.
He knew.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God says so in 1 John 3. If you read it, the believing readers was warned not to be like Cain.
Mm-hmm.
Cain rebelled against God's way of salvation in Genesis chapter 4. What's that way of salvation? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Through a blood sacrifice. What was the first blood sacrifice? Was it Jesus? No. Let's go back into the Word. By the clothing that Adam and Eve wore that God gave them, which was the skins of slain animals. You can read about that in Genesis 3:21. I'm not going to go there. I don't have the mouse, so I'm like, having to tell
you. Can
you just move up so I can go through the scriptures here?
Go ahead.
So God made it very clear in His Word that the only way of salvation is through the shedding of blood. This is the way of faith, not the way of good works. You can look at Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10, sorry. So Cain rejected this divinely authorized way and came to the altar with the fruits of his own labor. God rejected Cain's offering because God rejected Cain. His heart was not right before God. It was by faith that Abel's sacrifice was offered, and that was that was why God accepted it. So Abel did things by his heart, and his heart was right with God. Cain's heart was not right with God. The way of Cain is the way of pride, a man establishing his own righteousness and rejecting the righteousness of God that comes through faith in Christ, according to the word of God in Romans 10, verses 1 through 4, and Philippians 3, verses 3 through 12. You can read those. Cain became a fugitive and tried to overcome his wretchedness by building a city and developing a civilization. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. He ended up with everything a man could desire except one thing. What was that? God. Without God, you cannot have salvation. You cannot have it. Let's talk about Saul. The Holy Spirit left Saul. The Holy Spirit left Saul. Well, in 1 Samuel 16, 14, it talks about that. The reason why I'm not quoting all the scripture, I want you to go back and read it for yourself. If I've read you all the scriptures, then you would get what I'm saying, but I want you to do it by yourself. Do a study with the Holy Spirit. By yourself. Don't rely on man. Don't rely on me. Don't rely on Kathy. You rely on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the anointing, and you'll see. You'll see this. If you don't see it, it's because your heart is not right with God. You're not wanting to listen to His Word. You're wanting to listen to the direction that man's going. You want to follow that direction that man's going? Go ahead. That's your choice. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We'll follow Him. All right? So, 1 Samuel 16:14. If Saul had the Holy Spirit and then lost the Holy Spirit, what else did he lose? Well, you kind of need to have the Holy Spirit, right? In order to have salvation. He lost God. The Lord told Saul to utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. That was in 1 Samuel 15:3. There was a reason why the Lord said this. But I'm not going to go there. Paul spared King Agag and the best of the animals and possessions in direct violation of the divine command. This is Saul's second recorded sin in Scripture. Okay, his first was to offer the sacrifice at Gilgal instead of waiting 7 days for Samuel like he was told in 1 Samuel 13:1 through 14. You can read about that. So Saul, God left Saul. Plain and simple. Saul was sinning against God. He was not doing what he was supposed to do. He rebelled against God. And rebellion is what?
Witchcraft.
That's right. So then David came along in the Bible. We're still in the Old Testament. David, I questioned what he said in Psalms. I was like, what? But if they couldn't lose the Holy Spirit, you know, then why would David say, worry about losing the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? The Word of God says in Psalm 51, 10 through 12, talks about David saying that. It said, create in me a clean heart. This one I'll read. O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Why was David worried about being cast away from God's presence? And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Makes me wonder. Why would he say something like that? He must have done a very horrible sin, such as possibly killing somebody else's husband and then marrying his wife. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So what's taken away? Joy. And uphold me with thy free spirit, because God gives us his spirit freely. But David didn't want that taken away, because David knew if he didn't have the spirit of God, what did he do? He rejected God. He turned the wrong way. Did Saul reject God? Yes. But did David? Well, let's talk about that. Some might ask why Saul was not restored, but David was. Here's why. It's a simple process of elimination. Pun intended. Here's why. Because David repented. David did as God told him to do, and so should we all. But Saul didn't. Saul didn't turn from his sin. Saul didn't turn away and do as God directed him to do, Saul went the other way, away from God. So I want you to look at that, but I want you to read that on your own. That's why the scriptures, like I said, I'm pointing them out, but you got to go back to the video and look. Judas Iscariot. Oh, this is a tough one. Everybody said, oh, you can't put Judas in
Judas,
there.
Judas.
Well, let me see. Can't I? Mm. Because the Word of God says I can, because mm-hmm. it's written in the Word.
That's right.
Judas was very, this is a very difficult one unless you really look into the Word and delve deep into it. Deep into Jesus, the Word of God himself. Matthew 27, 3 through 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Did he repent before Jesus? No, he said, the Word says he repented himself. And brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I've sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He's talking about Jesus. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He hung himself. First of all, the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. This is your temple. The Holy Spirit and God live in this temple if you so are, call yourself a believer and are walking in him and daily walking in his spirit, crucifying the flesh. And I'm not going to go into that. That's another whole ball game here. But so Jesus is in us. The kingdom of God is within us. This is what Jesus said in his word. You can look it up. It's in the word. Kingdom of God is in us. All right? Those who have him. So one, Judas killed the temple of God. Therefore, he defiled it. Suicide is a one-way ticket, and I'm telling you this for those who even have thoughts about it, don't do it. It's a one-way ticket to hell, which is why the devil sends upon a lot of people spirits using unbelief, and suicide is a spirit, which work hand in hand together. Okay, so the devil wants you to commit suicide, because if you kill this temple, you defile this temple, the Word of God says he will destroy you if you do so. You don't want to do that. You want to do what God wants, because otherwise you're doing a selfish act. You're doing what you want, not what God wanted, and it's a one-way ticket to hell. The devil especially is picking on Christians nowadays, saying, oh, if I get them persecuted enough, if people say bad things about them and cut them down, I'll get that thought into their head that they should commit suicide. No. No, you shouldn't. And that's why. It's a one-way ticket to hell. Two, Judas never repented. The Word says so. You can look it up. Okay, don't. Believe me, I want you to believe what the Word says. That's why I'm giving you the scriptures. Some will say he was never a believer. Really? Okay. Well, so I looked to the Lord and says, this person, this pastor is telling me that this man was never a believer. I don't understand how he could be a believer and be with the 12. He was numbered among the 12.
Numbered among the 12.
So I was like, I'm going to do a study on this. I want you to show me, Lord. So the Word said, not only was he a follower because he followed Jesus, but he was ordained and had the power against unclean spirits. I'd say that he was ordained. Okay, I'd say he's a believer. So, note, I put a note in here. It says, what I say? Satan cannot cast out Satan. He was saved. Oh, there you go. But don't believe me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Believe what the Word says. Matthew 10:1 says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Can I ask a quick question? So he gave us the power to heal and deliver, correct? In his name. Why? Who are we doing that for? People who are not saved? Mm-mm. Only people who are saved get the gifts of God. The only time there's a possibility he might do that for somebody who doesn't want to be saved is because he knows that miracle will get them saved. That's about the only situation I can think of that would be that, even a possibility of that. So the gifts of God are for his own children. The
gifts of God are given even before repentance.
Before repentance.
Mm-hmm. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. I want to go on.
I know, but we have to address that because that's...
Before repentance. Go ahead, and I'll allow you to address it because I'm going to stare at my fish for a moment.
The gifts really cool. of God are given before repentance, but that's not healing.
Praise you, Jesus. No, I wasn't listening.
Is God going to heal someone who's not saved?
I don't know, will he? Are you asking me or are you asking the Lord?
We're going to pray on that one.
I want to just go on because this is why...
All right, Dan's back on the subject. Go ahead, I'm sorry, guys.
Mark, chapter 3, verse 14. Let's go on about Judas. It says in the Word of God, and he ordained 12. It doesn't say he ordained 11. That they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Yeah, Judas was ordained. He was with Jesus. He believed on the Lord. And he was sent out to preach. I'd say he was a believer. So the pastor that told me that, you better read the Word a little bit more. Keep reading it. And I say that with love. Keep reading the Word. Do not teach that again. It's false. Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a possession and kept some of the money. And God did what? He smote them for it. You can look in Acts 4, verse 32 through 38, and Acts 5, 1 through 11. If you take the time to read this, you're going to read that these two believed, they were among the church, and walked among the congregation of the early church. This is two more cases. Not just one, because it was Ananias and his wife. So they both perished. It doesn't say that they were saved. Okay, it says they were perished. They perished. So let's go on with the sorcerer Simon. Now we're getting into the New Testament. If you haven't noticed, I went from Old Testament to New. I was supposed to tell you that, but I forgot. My imperfections, Lord, I apologize. So the sorcerer Simon. Simon believed, repented, confessed, and was even baptized. Then he fell away through attempting to purchase the power of God with money. See Acts 8, 9 through 24. If you'll notice here, Peter tells Simon, your money perish with you. So in other words, they didn't even want his money. They didn't want his money. And they didn't want him. He was rejected. In Acts 8, 20 through 22, Peter tells Simon of his wrong and tells him to repent and pray to God for forgiveness. Even then, Simon in verse 24 asked them to pray for him because he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't pray for himself. Tell you something, right? He was a believer. He repented. He was baptized. I searched it out in Strong's Concordance. It says about the word perish. It says, from a presumed derivative of G622, ruin or loss, physical, spiritual, or eternal, damnable, destruction, die, perdition, X out, perish, pernicious ways and waste. That pretty much tells me that he lost his salvation. Okay.
I got the scripture real quick. I was praying on it. Okay. Will he heal someone who's not saved? We are in Matthew chapter 15. Where are you going? Hold on.
One second.
Oh, okay. You're moving that one. Okay. Okay, so Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. This is a woman who had come to Jesus to ask him to heal her daughter. He said, but he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So who was Jesus sent for? Was he sent for the lost? He was sent only to the lost sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the woman came and began to bow before him. In other words, showing her faith in Jesus Christ. In reverence to Jesus Christ. And said, Lord, calling him Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He's saying, I can't heal your daughter. She doesn't belong to me. And then the woman said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs, even the unsaved, feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table. So she is showing her faith in Jesus Christ and proclaiming that she believes he can heal her. Then he says back to her, oh, woman, your faith is great. It shall be done as you wish. The healing and deliverance belongs to God's children only. Amen. Okay, go for it.
Her daughter was healed at once.
And her daughter was healed at once. Once he did it. She proclaimed her faith, and then he healed her. Her daughter.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, go ahead.
So, I want to talk about, I don't know how to say this name right, Lord help me, Hymenaeus and Alexander. They were believers delivered unto Satan for blasphemy. You can see that in 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20. I actually have the scripture up, so good. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Good warfare. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Okay? Now, you can read about that one. I'm not going to say anything more on that one because I want you to read 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20 and look to the Holy Spirit. See what he says. So I want to talk about Paul for a minute and what he said, because it makes perfectly good sense, actually. Why would Paul say in Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a working out. It's a daily crucifying the flesh. Paul said all these things. It's a casting away off the flesh. It's a walking in the Spirit, not so that you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. I can go on and on all day, but I'm not going to, because the Lord told me to pinpoint right what was to be said. So he also pointed out that he could become a castaway in 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I'm a castaway.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 11, 20 through, 21 through 22. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not you. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. He's talking to believers, isn't he? You could be cut off? Really? Paul said this? 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than with them than the beginning. Verse 21. For it had been better for them had they not known the way of righteousness, than after they had known to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. They turned away. You can turn away from the living God. You can sin and harden your heart against God. Don't sit there and tell me that once saved, always saved, because otherwise Ted Bundy, if he gave his heart to the Lord, and then he went out and killed all those people and kept doing it, you think he's going to go to heaven? Really? And no, those that don't know who Ted Bundy was, he was a serial killer, one of the most evil serial killers in the history of the United States. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Is this falling away, unbelievers, by the way? No. This falling away is believers. And it's happening right now, because believers are falling away from the truth. They're being misled by people who are teaching false doctrine. Doctrines of demons. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Paul as well said in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves. Why would we have to examine ourselves? Well, some might say, well, we're saved by grace, through faith, and not of works. Okay, that's great. That's great and all. You're saved through faith. But that doesn't give you a license to sin. Being saved by grace does not give you a license to sin. And pointing that, stressing that out right now. If you're in a church that's telling you, don't worry if you sin, it's okay. Grace, God's grace will be with you. And His mercy. You're hardening your heart against God by allowing that man to teach you this. You need to be constantly working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, as Paul said, and I quoted that earlier. You need to constantly be looking to the Holy Spirit and walking in His Spirit so that you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. What are the desires of the flesh? I'm not going to go there, but there's a lot. Murder, deceit, lasciviousness. We can go on and on. But there's so many, and it's all from the heart. If your heart's not right with God, you're departing from the living God. You're not walking in His Spirit, then you're walking in the flesh. And the flesh and the lusts thereof, they're going to perish. Yeah, and I'm mad about this because there's preachers out there that won't preach the truth. I hope you come against me real hard, those who don't believe what I'm preaching, because it's not me who you're coming against. It's the Word of God Himself. Because I'm telling you what the Word says, not what Dan said. I don't care what I said. I care only what the Lord said. Paul as well said in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Look up the word reprobate sometime. In strong concordance, I'll just tell you. It means unapproved. That's rejected. By implication, worthless. Literally or morally. Castaway, rejected. There's that word castaway again. Wow. So what about Jude verses 3 through 5? If you read that, I want you to read it. If salvation could not be lost, such warnings would be meaningless. Instead, the Bible shows clearly that someone who has been saved can fall away by returning to a practice of serious sin. You can search that out in 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 9 through 11. And Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. I want you to search those out yourself. Don't believe me. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe what the Word of God has to say. Can you put that up, please? Mm-hmm.
How far down?
Just to right there. Okay, so I want to talk about the Word of God Himself, Jesus. Jesus said Himself in John 15, 1 through 6. I'll read this one. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. Who's the branches? Well, let's go further. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Who is the branch? Who's the branches? Where's the branches?
We are the branches.
We're the branches.
Yep.
He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Who are the branches? We're the branches, right? And is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Wow. Some of those branches are burned. So verse 2, Jesus said, every branch in me, that's what he's talking about. Well, they were in him, right? There's the scripture that Jesus pointed out right there. You only need that scripture, but I'm going to go further because I got some things to say here. So why would Jesus say those who endure to the end would be saved in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Think about this. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. What about those that don't endure to the end? Is he talking to unbelievers? No, Jesus is talking to believers. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And a lot of people are going to hear this in that day of judgment. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Do his will, people. Do his will, not your own. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done so many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Who's he talking about with those who work iniquity? Believers. He's not talking about the unbelievers. He's talking about believers who still work in iniquity. They're sinning because they know grace covers them, and that's the wrong way to go. There should be no sin in you. Yeah, sure, you're going to fall sometimes, you're going to sin. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you shouldn't sin. If the Holy Spirit is guiding you and leading you and convicting you of the sins that are coming and telling you, watch out for that. Watch her eyes. Don't look at her eye gates, because in there is a spirit of adultery. Then don't look in the eye gates of that woman if you're married. It's that simple. Follow the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you and guide you so that you will not make mistakes like that. Don't go to that bar, he'll say. You go to that bar and you were a brawler at one time, you're going to want to brawl. Why go back into the mire? Don't do it. It's simple. Go by the leading of the Holy Spirit. You won't sin. You won't. So the Word of God is clear. You can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and be saved. But if you don't do the will of the Father, you can cry, Lord, Lord, as much as you want.
Amen.
Jesus illustrated what could happen even to a servant who had been in a relationship with them. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, in an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him as portion with the unbelievers. You can read that. Luke 12, verse 42 through 48, if you want to read that. So what that's talking about is a believer who decided, well, the Lord's not coming. I'm going to go back into drinking, smoking, cussing, committing adultery. And I could go on and on with a lot of sins. There's a lot of them. But if you're going back into that, you're a reprobate. You're not doing what the Lord wants. You're doing what you want. You're doing your will. You're singing the song, I did it my way. And that's not what the Lord wants to hear. He wants to hear, I did it the Lord's way. Okay? I'm not being funny here. I'm being truthful. Don't do it your way. Do it Jesus' way. Do the will of the Father. You won't have no problem getting to heaven then. So, again, it's just a matter of walking out your faith in Christ and staying out of sin. Sin brings what? I heard you. Death. For the wages of sin is what? That's right. Death. We are to endure to the end, just as Jesus said in his word. If we look back in his word in Matthew 10:22, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, right? He said, but he that endures to the end shall be saved.
That's right.
We need to endure. How are we going to endure? Spiritual warfare. That's how you endure. You stay on top of things by reading the Word of God. You stay on top of things by keeping that relationship close as you can to Jesus. As close as you possibly can. It's that simple. Revelation 3, verse 15 through 16. He spoke this to me once because I was walking in that grace thing. Oh, it's okay, I can sin. I'm covered by grace. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. Mm-hmm. So that because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. When he said that, I was like, what? Because I was lukewarm. I was a lukewarm Christian. I was walking the grace thing. I can sin as much as I want. I'm covered by grace. It's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to sin. That's a license to sin. OSAS is a license to sin. That's all I call it. The word spew in Greek, by the way, I looked it up. It means vomit.
Vomit.
In other words, you make the Lord sick. Revelations 2. Under the Lord, under the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Wow, I cannot read today. Lord, help me read. Amen. I know your works and your labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. That means stay in his word, stay in him. Or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Remove his candlestick? Who's the candlestick he's talked about? I want you to think about that. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We need to be overcomers. We need to be overcomers of sin. We need to stay out of sin. If it's something that you're having a trouble with, you need to trouble the Lord with it and say, Lord, I'm having troubles with this area. I can't stop. I need your help. Please help me. Help me. Cry to the Lord. He will help you. He will help you. If he wouldn't, I wouldn't tell you that. I'm telling you from my own accounts with the Lord. I'm not going to name them because there's so many where I needed help from the Lord and he helped me. He put me on the right path, the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. I want you to read on your own time Revelations 2, verse 1 through 11. But beforehand, this is what I tell people, or try to tell people. If I didn't tell you this yet, and you're listening to the sound of my voice, I'm telling you now. Beforehand, before any time that you read the Word of God, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you under the anointing, what it means. And pray for no distractions while you read it so that you may gain understanding. Very important. That, in itself, is spiritual warfare. So, I had a bunch of scriptures and the Lord said, no, you're not going to put that on there. But God disagrees with OSAS. Can you put that in the comments? Just from
this here?
Let me show you.
This whole thing?
Yeah, let me just... Not now. Not right now.
Okay.
I need to go down. But there's a lot of scriptures on this.
A lot.
Yeah.
He's got like 30 scriptures here, or 20.
There's quite a few, all right? But I'm leaving you with these thoughts, and that's with the Word of God. I'm going to leave you with Ezekiel 18:24, Hebrews 6, verse 4 through 6, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, Hebrews 11:24-25. What? Oh, you want me to read them? All right, I'll tell you what. I'll read them, but you have to read them too on your own. I'll read them, but you have to read them on your own. Ezekiel 18, verse 24. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered, for his treachery which he has committed and his sin which he has committed, for them he will die. It doesn't say he's going to live. It's not talking about unbeliever. It's talking about a righteous man here. But first four words. But when a righteous, for five, man turns away from his righteousness. So there you have it. That's in the Old Testament. Let's go to the New. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6 says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
Wow, I don't think you can get more specific than that scripture.
I'm reading this, but you need to read this under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the anointing. If you read it, you'll see it. I mean, it's clear as day. I mean, you got like five suns on this looking down and just shining. I mean, it's like, whoo.
Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6.
And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. Let's talk about a falling away. It's not talking about, if they fall from grace, it's okay, they'll be saved. You know. Okay.
They're asking you to say it again. Do you want to start from the beginning?
Hebrews 6, verse 4 through 6 says, for it is impossible, the people in chat, for you. I'm doing this for you. Love you guys, by the way. And big hugs.
Big hugs.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. There is no more repentance after that. Seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to an open shame. I've talked to men in my ministry and ministering in the streets. I've talked to men who have left God, and I said, why would you leave God? I'm just asking the question because I want to understand you more. Why would you leave the goodness of God? I don't know. I just chose to sin. You know, I just chose to go out in the world, and now here I am, and I'm not going back. That's their choice. Everybody in this lifetime has a choice under your last breath, which God gives you. And that choice is whether to serve him and do his will, or serve yourself and do your own will. That man on the street, he served himself and does his own will. That's his choice. Did I feel for him? Yeah, my heart hurt. I was like, are you serious? Why would you depart from the living God? Why would you want to do that? This was a believer, a Christian.
I know.
He was a pastor.
I know.
A pastor in a church.
I don't see it.
He preached the word of God at a pulpit for years and years. 2 Thessalonians verse 2 or chapter 2 verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means. Let no man deceive you." I'm not deceiving you. I'm just giving you what the word of God
says.
You take it how you will. Okay? But I know how I believe now, because I believe what the Word of God says. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That falling away, unbelievers? No.
Mm-mm.
And that
falling
man,
away of unbelievers?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
No. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, let's go on further. Hebrews 11, 24 through 25, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He rejected sin. He rejected doing what he could have had, which is a bunch of women. He had women, he had money, he had power. And Moses chose not to do that. He chose to do the will of God. He knew in his heart what was right, and his heart was right with God. And that's why God used Moses, even though he stuttered. A lot of people don't know that Moses stuttered, but yeah, he did. And that's why he had to have Aaron to help him speak. But God used him because of his heart. Moses didn't turn away from God. Had Moses turned away, he was a believer. Okay? He believed on the Lord. And say that he turned away and said, I'm just going to go back to... It's too hard with the affliction of the children of Israel. I think I'm going to go back into Egypt. Why would he go back into Egypt? You serious? Moses knew better. John 8, verse 11. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, what this is talking about in John chapter 8 is the woman who was committing adultery and was caught in adulterous acts. And these men brought her before the Lord and were going to stone her. But Jesus said to these men, "You who have no sin, cast the first stone." Well, none of them could cast any stone, so they all walked away. Well, in walking away, this is what the Lord said to her in John 8, verse 11. He said, she said, hallelujah, "No man, Lord, is there. No man is there to throw a stone at me anymore." That's what she's saying. And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He didn't condemn her. He forgave her because he knew she had a repentant heart. She knew what was wrong. She knew what was wrong inside of her heart. And God knows the hearts of men. He knew what was in her heart right then, right there. And that's why he told her the truth. Go and sin no more. And I'm telling you the truth, OSAS believers. Go and sin no more. This is what Jesus said. Make your heart right with God. Repent before him. Turn to the everlasting God, the one that can give you the hope and desire for eternity, for all of eternity. It's everlasting. It's
always.
Why would you
forever.
Turn away from that?
Eternity, eternal.
Sin brings death. Don't you want blessings? Sin brings curses. Don't you want blessings? Don't sin anymore. Well, how can I do that? That's impossible. No, it's not. Jesus showed you how not to do it. He walked with no sin all of his life till 33 years old, and he didn't sin even then. He did the Father's will all the way up to the cross. He showed you that we can do that too, but how? He walked in the Spirit of God. He knew the Word because he was the Word. If we know the Word and the Word is in us and we dwell in Him and Him in us, we know not to sin.
That's right.
Because He shows us.
Amen.
Not to sin. Paul had a problem with sin. He talked about it in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. But he told us how to walk so that we will not sin in Galatians 5, 16. Now, I just mentioned it. I want you to turn to the Bible. Turn in your Bibles on all these scriptures. You can turn back on those YouTube videos. That's what's cool about the fact that the Lord's using technology with us in this ministry.
Yep.
Is that you can turn back and look at all the scriptures. We don't have to give them on the bottom, but I'm going to give some.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many. I had 29 pages. I looked at the Lord and says, Lord, this is a lot. He said, yeah, some of it's from you. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. I repented. My heart. I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. My heart hurt. I was like, Jesus, I'm sorry. God chastens those whom He loves. He chastened me on that. He said, I'll show you which ones to use. And He showed me. And now He's showing you because it's all there in the Word. This once saved, always saved, reject it. If you're not going to reject it, that's your choice. As for me and Kathy in this ministry, we reject it. And those who are preaching and teaching, it is a false doctrine. And you need to search your heart on it and look to the Lord and say, please, Lord, forgive me. I repent. You need to repent and turn around and come to the Lord now. Because He's coming. Real soon. Even while I'm speaking this, He might come. And we should be prepared for this. Everyone, I'm speaking to everybody now. Everyone in the chat room. Everyone that's listening to the sound of my voice. We need to be watchful and ready as the Lord told us to do in the New Testament. In His gospel. His glorious gospel of peace. Watch and be ready, for you know not what hour I am coming. There's coming a time when He will speak and He will say, come up hither. Will you be one that comes with Him? I hope so. But I'm telling you right now is the time to get right with Him. If you're sinning and you have any special sin that you keep doing over and over and you're hardening your heart to God by keeping on doing the same sin over and over, no matter what it is, I'm not going to speak all these sins because there's a lot of them. There's a book long. Go and sin no more. This is my final word in this message, and I'm going to let Kathy speak some things. And then she's going to put those scriptures in the bottom in the comments section.
In the comments, because there's a lot, and I don't think I can fit it all.
I'm not
going to
put everything that was spoke, but just those scriptures.
Yeah, the scriptures.
You know which one I'm talking about. So
okay, so I just wanted to say a couple of things that have come up in different conversations, different videos. Just honestly, this once saved, always saved thing is just kind of out of nowhere, but I know it's because this is it, we're here.
We're in the end
times.
And
all the itching ears teachings are coming to the surface, all of them. Okay, so there's a particular issue with those who believe the once saved, always saved. They're really kind of confused, and they keep saying anybody who doesn't believe their doctrine automatically, oh, they must believe that their salvation, that you can only get salvation through works. That's ridiculous. I don't think a single person, other than maybe somebody who are like in Catholicism or Mormonism or somebody in like a church like that, in like a religious place, but normal Christians who don't believe once saved, always saved, do not believe we are saved by works. Okay, you need to understand that. But you can walk away from God and get your name blotted out of the book of life, just like the scriptures he's saying, and then lose your salvation because you've left God. And no, you're not going to go to hell just for believing once saved, always saved, but the way you can choose hell is if you believe once saved, always saved, and do not walk out the fruit of your faith, which is works. The fruit of your faith is works. You automatically do good things in the world and live right and follow the Ten Commandments because you're walking by faith, because you're saved by His grace. If there's no works that show the fruit of that faith in Jesus Christ, then guess what? That faith is dead, which means there was no salvation to begin with. It's not real salvation. If there's no fruit of works to show that true faith, because yes, you are saved by your faith, but then you have to walk out that faith. And if you don't see works, if you're not living right, if you don't show the fruit of that faith in Jesus Christ, there's no real salvation there to begin with. Amen and amen.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch in me, every branch in Jesus that bears not fruit, he takes away.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I really don't have anything more to say on this because the Lord has just used me for that one purpose, and that's all. And I have to go back into my day and be blessed by him and read the words more and get into some more prayer and love up on him as much as he loves up on me. And I would say that it's going to be a blessed day for that reason. You know, Jesus is my all in all. Kathy's all in all. He completes us.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us hope. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. And if you're an unbeliever and you've heard this, you can have joy and hope and peace and love, especially himself, which is love. All you have to do is turn away from sin and come to him. Repent. Tell him, please forgive me of all my sins. He knows your heart. He knows what you've done. He's watched you all your life. And if you're one of his, you think he's going to reject you? He ain't going to reject you unless you reject him.
Amen.
Unless you reject his truth. God loves you. He wants you to come to him. That's his glorious gospel. The fact that when Cain killed his righteous brother Abel, that blood ran into the ground, and God heard Abel's blood cry out. So God changed that by sending his only son and put him on a cross. And that blood, the righteous blood of Jesus, came down. As the word declares, the second Adam came down and went into that soil, and that was for you and for me, so that we could be forgiven.
Amen.
As far as the east is to the west, your sins shall not be remembered anymore. That's what his word declares. I believe it. That's why I'm here preaching this. I don't care what anybody thinks. I care what Jesus thinks. I care what my God in heaven thinks. Which God is that? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's the God I serve.
Amen.
Not the God of this world, small g. And a lot of these, a lot of people will be going to hell because they rejected that free gift of God, which is salvation. Don't reject that gift, please. If you're listening to this, I'm pleading you with my heart. Don't reject that gift. It's free.
Amen.
I'm just going to stop there. And Father, I thank you for this time. And I pray that, Lord, that the people that would choose to go through the scriptures that are on this video, that they would choose to pray that prayer and ask you to teach them under the anointing and ask for no distractions so that they could see and hear your word in clarity in the spirit, in their spirit man. I pray this, Lord, and I ask that every single person that's watching this and at the sound of my voice, that they'll turn and repent and come to you in all things. And that they will not sin no more because they'll walk in your spirit and be led by your spirit. Therefore, they will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And I thank you, Lord, for this time just to be able to glorify you by sending out your word, by sending out this message to those who will hear. Let those who have ears hear. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, Father, and all honor and all power and all praise be to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we love you guys.
Anointing today, yeah.
After we're done here, I'm going to do a real short little video on a different, slightly different topic, but I'm not going to do it live just because it's going to be short, but I will upload it after we're done. But thank you, everybody, for coming. We love you. And it's so nice to be together with Dan on a video.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I gotta work a job, you know. I gotta work a day job.
So he had today off. He took yesterday and today off because he's a veteran, and he had a nice little break for Veterans Day, which was very nice. Thank you for your service,
honey. Oh, thank you very much. Oh, I love you too.
All right, we love you guys. God bless you all. And we are here. If you have any questions, please email teamjesus222@protonmail.com if you have any questions on any of this, okay? And I can always also, well, there's, it's too much to email. Honestly, we're going to put all the scriptures and stuff underneath, and it's, believe me, there's plenty there for you guys to read through. There's tons of scriptures.
I know this, though, because we get a lot of people that bombard us with emails that are strifeful and contentious and not even gaining a point. We will just delete those emails. Yeah. We're not going to even listen to that.
Yeah.
We're not here to strive.
Yeah, we're
contend.
Not here for strife.
We don't have time for that. Jesus is coming. We don't have time for that. That doesn't give God any glory by arguing and bickering and debating and striving and contending. That's not what the Word says to do, is it? We are to have the fruit of the Spirit. And that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the wrong spirit. And we're not going there. So just letting you know that. Me and Kathy, we don't do that.
That's right.
All right, let's end.
Okay, all right, praise the Lord. Love you guys, and we will talk to you really soon. Bye-bye.